You're listening to Growing in Christ, a ministry of LifePoint Church, featuring the teachings of Pastor Jeb Dodson. Join us today as we embark on an exciting adventure through the Word of God. Our hope and prayer is that you are blessed along this journey as you find a closer and fruitful personal relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now here's Pastor Jeb Dodson with this week's message.
If you get your Bibles out, and there's going to be a screen where you can follow along in the Word, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 37 briefly, and then we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. I'm going to be in chapter 22 and chapter 23. We're talking about this morning finding direction. Finding direction. This is a word that actually was dropped in my heart 2 months ago, and I had no idea that we would be going through what we're going to right now. And I really didn't understand it, but I did know it wasn't the right time for that message, and I didn't know why. But now it's, when it's come into everything that I know now, it all makes sense. Finding direction after falling down, or finding direction when you're coming out of something. So in Psalm chapter 37, I'm going to read to you verse 23 and 24. This is what it says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Let's pray over the word. Father God, we thank you for your word. It is life. It is truth. God, I pray that every person, as they are tuning in, as they are watching this online, that you would open up your word to our hearts. Father, we thank you for doing this. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, the steps of a good man, other translations, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. What makes a good man good, or makes a man righteous in the eyes of the Lord? As I was pondering this, it just came to me that a good man, a righteous man, will fall. But he will know how to get back up, and he will know how to serve the Lord again. And so this is really applicable on two levels. It is on an individual level, but it's also on a corporate level. We need to get back and serve the Lord again as individual people. But what I didn't know when God gave me this message is we also need to get back and begin serving the Lord as a nation. This nation is going through trials that has never gone through before, and the Lord is really speaking to me and telling me that this is a test. This is a wake-up call. It is up to us to find our direction, to get back on track once we get our normal routine, when the pandemic is behind us. So there's two sides of this message this morning. I want to introduce you to this. It's going to be a two-part series this Sunday and next Sunday. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and 23. Here's just a little background. After the reign of Solomon, Israel is split up between two kingdoms. Israel is in the north, and Judah is split away from Israel in the south with Jerusalem as the capital. After this split, there's a steady decline in serving the Lord and obeying his commands. We're going to focus on the kingdom of Judah this Sunday and next Sunday. Things got really bad after King Jehoshaphat. You can kind of see what's going on in Judah. But after Jehoshaphat, he divided much of his duties to his sons, and he established his oldest son, Jehoram, as king. When he dies and Jehoram took over, instead of making everything work, he kills his brothers. He married a daughter of King Ahab, and her name is Athaliah. When, let's just say that this whole family of Ahab, it just borders on insanity. You ever know a family like that, you know, and you don't have to call their name out, but something's wrong with all of them. You know that they're all off. Well, this is the family I'm talking about, the family of Ahab. So he marries one of the daughters, and what happened is Jehoram dies this horrible death with some terrible intestinal disease. And so this evil queen comes and places her hopes in her son. And the Bible says that she began to encourage her son to do the most evil acts imaginable throughout his reign. He is then murdered by a man whom the Lord directs to get rid of the descendants of Ahab, because even the Lord recognizes, God recognizes, this whole family needs to be taken care of, needs to be wiped out. But after her husband, Athaliah, is killed, things just get progressively worse. And so that's the introduction. Now let's get right into it. 2 Chronicles chapter 22, it starts in verse 10. I'm going to read verse 10 and 12. It says, "Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, hid him from Athaliah, so she did not kill him. And he was hidden with him in the house of God for 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land." So this evil queen ruled the land. And as I said, after her husband Jehoram died, this terrible agonizing death, he had this terrible intestinal disease. After her son is made king, then he's killed. It must have been the final straw where she just absolutely gives herself over to complete evil, and she begins to slaughter her own grandchildren. Times of darkness will absolutely come. I mean, what I've just read there, that is as bizarre as it is, that is history. It happened. It's biblical record. And so we kind of compare this to times and seasons that nations go through and things that we also go through in our lives. I just want to remind you of something. Satan is the complete master of chaos. Even if it is judgment by the Lord, Satan will take something as an opportunity, as an upset condition, and he will stretch it out to do the most possible damage that he possibly can. Satan is the master of this. He causes chaos. His goal is to get you to give up on God, to get you thinking that God has left us, and that there is no place in God's heart for us any longer. And that's what Satan does. So we fall, and it's possible to fall as a nation, and it's very possible to fall as individuals. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That means that no man is immune, no nation is immune. The Bible gives a very detailed account of how bad things became for the kingdom of Judah. And I want to focus on chapter 23. This is how the people of Judah, how they began to recover from the brink of extinction. And what I want to do is draw a parallel to what they did as a nation and what I believe we need to do as a nation as well. 2 Chronicles 23, verse 1 and 2 says this, "In the seventh year, Jehoiada," that is the priest, it says Jehoiada strengthened himself, made a covenant with the captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jehoram, Ishmael the son of Jehonahan, Azariah the son of Obed, Maaseiah the son of Adaiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zichri. And they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. So here begins the start of this two-part series on getting back up and moving in the right direction. There's seven steps that I want to share with you that the Lord is placing my heart on what we need to do to get back up and get going the right direction. I will cover three steps this morning, and the following four I'm going to cover next Sunday. The first step is this. What we get out of here from 2 Chronicles 23, verse 1 and 2 is this. The first step is we need to become united in purpose. The first step to reject Satan's attack is become united. First, Jehoiada, it says, strengthened himself. That means that he became united in resolve for the Lord. He is not double-minded about what needed to be done. He became determined to get back on track. So he began to gather those who he knew were close to the Lord and wanted to see the Lord glorified in their nation again. So it's a point where he just had to make a decision. Do we serve the Lord? Do we go after what we know that God has called us to do? Or do we give in to the reign of this evil queen? Matthew 6:24, you can read it with me, says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Another translation says, you can't serve God and man. You can't do it. It cannot be done. We have to decide a direction. We can lay down. We can follow the world. The Bible calls it the flesh. We can do that, following the flesh. This is the opposite of seeking the strength of the Lord. It's giving up and allowing the flesh to just rule our lives. The other option is seek the Lord by grabbing hold of his promises, grabbing hold of his Holy Spirit. This is what we see happening to Jehoiada the priest in this story. He strengthened himself in the Lord. There's a story I read about this sunken ship. It really illustrates being strengthened in the Spirit. Several years ago, engineers building this new bridge over the East River in New York, they discovered the wrecked hull of a ship. Sunk many years before, it lay right where the center piers were to be built for this bridge. Powerful machinery was brought in to remove this ship, but as much as they tried, the ship would not budge. One of the engineers had this very unusual idea. Why not have the tide raise the ship? How powerful is a tide? Could the tide have enough strength to do it? So some strong cables were attached to the hull when the tide was very low. The other ends of the cable were attached to the barge above. As the tide came in, the barge gradually lifted this sunken ship. It was then towed out into the ocean and sunk in a spot where it wouldn't cause future problems. God's Holy Spirit is like the tide. When we fall down, we can grab a hold of that quiet, still presence and begin to draw strength from the Holy Spirit. Like the tide, it comes quietly. It comes slowly, but it comes to us with enough power so that we can find new direction and new purpose. Especially when we end up in a place where, I think we've all been there, end up in a place where God has never intended you to end up, yet here you are in this place where you know that you took a wrong turn somewhere. The Holy Spirit can help us get back on track. We need the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that changes us, renews us, gives us strength. You know, it is impossible to change and make a lasting change without the power of the Holy Spirit. When every person receives Christ as their personal Savior, it says that the Bible says that there is a seal that is placed upon their lives. It is a seal of the Holy Spirit. That is the power of change. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us, even though we're going this one direction and we know this is the wrong direction, it allows us to stop, ask forgiveness, and get back up and just go the opposite direction and start heading towards the Lord. So after Jehoiada strengthened himself, resolved within himself, he became united in purpose with the others around him. You know, your friends and your family, they need to know the direction you're going when you make a decision to follow the Lord. If they love you, your friends and your family, they'll support you. They'll recognize that this is God's conviction on your life. This is not just a fad. Maybe you've tried and maybe you failed a dozen times. Well, Jesus died for you once, and it is enough for dozen times a dozen times a dozen times of you falling and failing. True family and friends, if they really love you, they'll always support a move towards the Lord and never away from sin in rebellion. They will always support a move towards the Lord, away from sin and rebellion, and never towards the sin and rebellion. I just want to think about that for a second. If your friends are encouraging you and supporting you of making terrible choices for your life, you need to reevaluate that. Are these really my friends, and do they really have my best interest at heart? Are these the ones that God really, really want me to be hanging around? See, you cannot pick your family, but you can pick your friends. Pick your friends wisely. They should never be supportive of something that is harmful to you. Always supporting something that is for your very best. After Jehoiada the priest strengthens himself, he strengthens those around him. This is what happens next. 2 Chronicles 23:3 says, then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God, and he said to them, behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has said of the sons of David. Now, this is something that's very important. This is the second step to getting back on track. Remember the promises of the Lord. Remember the promises. See, the queen tried to erase the promises of the Lord. I want you to understand this. She tried to kill all of her grandchildren. She slaughtered them, but she never knew that one was still alive. She tried to wipe out the promise of the Lord. Do you know that that's impossible? God's promises are everlasting on top of everlasting. His promises for you are eternal. They cannot be erased. This epidemic that the nation is experiencing right now, it cannot erase the promises of the Lord. And so we need to, after we strengthen ourselves and get unity together, we need to begin to dig deeper into the promises of God, because God's promises are eternal. God's promises are irrevocable. The promises in this word that he has for you, they are eternal, they are irrevocable, and they are for you today, and no one can take them away. Jesus prayed and thanked the Father. He said, I thank you that you've given these, and nothing can take them out of my hand. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in the palm of his hand, and nothing, nothing can take you out of his hand. You can make the decision. You can step out of his hand and you can walk away from the Lord, but he will never walk away from you. It's by our choice. God did not set you free just for a season. He sets you free from sin for an eternity. I can't even wrap my mind around eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it goes on and on. My mind is just so limited. I try to think about eternity and I just can't get it. But God says that his promises, his love for you, they are eternal and it goes on for eternity. That's how long he sets you free from the enemy. He sets you free from the captive of sin. God's promises are not like other promises. It's not like if I made you a promise and I try to keep the promises as best I can. If I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to do something, but you know you've come into that situation where someone you trust, they made a promise, but something happened, they couldn't come through. God's not like that. 2 Peter 1:3-4, it's talking about God's promises here. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Basically, let me break that down. What this says is there's two directions that we spiritually travel on: towards God's promises or away from his promises. That's it. There's the only two directions you can go. The Bible says that the promises of God, through them, we escape corruption. We participate in his goodness, which is his nature, it says. To connect with the promises is to connect with the Father in a very real intangible way. I don't know if you've just ever had that thought where I just wish I could connect with God in a deeper way. You do that by connecting on his promises. And it's totally okay in prayer to remind God of his promises. I do it. I say, God, you said it right here. This is what you said. This is your promise. And I stand on your promise. It says it right here in your book. I think that's totally okay just to remind God. And what you're doing is you're agreeing with God what he's already established as a sure foundation in his word. Going on in our story, continuing on, 2 Chronicles 23, I want to read verse 4 through 8. This is what happens next. Jehoiada is talking to all of the soldiers who are there, and this is what it says. This is what you shall do. One third of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and Levites shall be keeping watch over the doors. One third shall be in the king's house, and one third at the gates of the fountain. All the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord, but let no one come into the house of the Lord except the priests and those of the Levites who serve. They may go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapon in his hand, and whoever comes into the house, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out. So the Levites and all of Judah did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. Each man took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath and those who were going off duty on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest had not dismissed the divisions. My third and final step that I want to give to you this morning for getting back on track is this: plan to protect what is holy. Plan to protect what is holy in your life. As a nation, we need to begin to plan to protect what really matters. Protect what is holy. Throw another word to say it, is it eternal? If it has eternal consequences, we must protect that. Without vision, the Bible says the people perish. Without a plan to pursue God, Satan will always have the upper hand. Let me ask it to you like this. What is worth protecting in your life? We've seen people fighting in the stores over the last something or another that is on the shelf. We've seen people just making irrational decisions through this entire pandemic. What is really important? What is eternal? God's calling us as individuals, in our families, and as a nation to get back to what we know to be true. If you are sitting today and you're convicted and maybe you're telling me, Pastor, you know, I used to pray. I used to pray every day. I used to read my Bible every day. I spent an hour with the Lord, or however much time it was. You know, you can get that back. You got to get it back and you've got to protect it. Our nation, the United States, was founded on the promises of God. We were founded on the very principles of freedom to worship. We need to protect that. We need to get back to making worship a kingdom priority. This is an eternal thing. When these church doors open, right now I am in an empty church. When these church doors open, it needs to be a flood of people in the seats. Not just this church, I'm saying every church. Wherever you go to church, you need to get back there, because we have a private life that we're supposed to connect with God, but God also says that we should not neglect being together. We have a corporate worship that we are supposed to be coming together. And we're doing the very best we can by putting these messages online. And I thank God for technology, but I'm telling you, it's not the same. It's just not the same. We're doing the very best we can, but God wants us to really get back to the foundation. As a nation, and let me just, I may call it a prophetic word if you like, but the United States is headed for complete doom and downfall if it steps away from the foundation of Jesus Christ upon which it was founded. It is our responsibility, each and every person's responsibility, to plan to protect what is holy. So that's how I'm closing this message. And I just want you to think about that. And if you would like to talk to me, please just call the number at the church. Email us. Connect with me somehow through Facebook. I would love to just talk to you one-on-one. We need to do whatever we need to do, whatever we know we should do to get back on track. And as I pray, I just want to just pray over you and pray over your family. And let me just agree with me as we pray over this nation that we need to get back on track to the foundation. Father God, Lord, we love you. God, and we thank you for dying on the cross so we can have life. God, we thank you that when you were hanging there and your blood was spilled, God, that was for each and every person that is listening today. God, I pray that you would just strengthen us, get us back where we need to be. God, and just let's make your relationship in our lives a complete priority. God, and I pray for every person in their family, and I pray for the church, God, that you would strengthen us. God, and strengthen our nation. Strengthen our leaders, God. Help them to get along. God, help them to make the right choices and the right decisions. God, let every knee bow down to your name. Let us get back to your promises and your authority. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that this has just really spoken to your life this morning, and I pray that you would just hang in there. This isn't going to last forever. This season will pass. I don't know what it's going to bring. It's just one of those unknown things, but let's trust in God together and let's continue to trust him. We love you and we pray that we would just continue to connect. Have a great week. Be blessed.
You've been listening to Growing in Christ, a ministry of LifePoint Church. If you are in the Crockett area, we would love for you to come and experience LifePoint Church for yourself. We hope you will find, like so many others, the joy and love felt from the presence of God in our church family. Together, we are better. For directions and times of worship, visit us on Facebook at LifePoint Church Crockett or call us at 936-544-8562. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, may the love of God richly bless and strengthen you.